in a good place, watching season one again, learning how to survive the afterlife with my friends, seeking the meaning of life, deep and profound. Philosophical lessons, we're going to town. This is the bad place, you basic. This where we are, two losers. We trash bag empty. Oh, so bizarre, unlimited frozen yogurt and shrimp galore. Living it up in the afterlife forevermore. We're dancing in the good place, feeling so alive every episode. Rewatch, taking a dive, asking the big questions till we find what's true. Shuffling through the afterlife, just me and you.
Welcome to Geek Girl Soup. I'm Susan.
Hey, it's Amelia.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Court.
And today we are starting our four-part series on The Good Place, one part for each season.
Yep. And that's why we have Amelia back.
That's right. Yay.
Not that we need an excuse. Not that you need an excuse, but you were down to do this little series with us. So
I was definitely down to do The Good Place. Have watched it all before. Happy to watch it again and again and again. I had a cheeky little shrimp cocktail for lunch today.
That's great.
Excellent.
It's something that drew me to Eleanor, just by the by, because, you know, she loves her shrimp. I am also, in honor of y'all, wearing my take
it sleazy. Oh my god.
I love
That's
it.
Perfect.
Take it sleazy. Oh my god. That's great.
And in honor of the show, I've been having stomach aches making decisions this week.
Oh goodness.
Okay, Chidi.
Yeah. But I'm not jacked like Chidi.
So few people are.
Yeah.
Really.
I have not been saying forking shirt balls because I do not have a sensor on me here at home.
Oh, I've been resisting the urge of calling everybody basic. Yeah, basic.
I've
been resisting. When she said it, I mean, we're not there yet, but
no.
I was like, I forgot. Yay.
I know.
I'm
such
basic.
A joy.
It's me.
It's me. And I'm a trash bag.
Oh, Adam Scott, call me a trash bag anytime he wants.
I mean, same. Hard agree.
So before we jump in, Kelly.
Yes, I have something to share, two somethings that I watched that are related. So when my daughter Camille was in town for the Austin Eclipse, we came back and she has a list of things to watch that my mother has suggested, but we turned on Netflix to look around. And we ended up watching this movie from 2010 called All Good Things, Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst. Do y'all remember seeing it ever? Okay. Written and directed by Andrew Jarecki. And it was only when we started it that we read on the opening splash screen, based on real events from 1917 to 2003. Wow. Like, wow. Okay. So we're getting, oh, and it was about a man, like a wealthier man who is suspected of his wife's disappearance. And she was not wealthy or anything like when it started. So, and that's really all it said. So we're getting into it. And I recognized Daniel Patrick Moynihan's name. He was a congressman from, I don't know if he's still around or not, I didn't look. Congressman from New York. It takes place in New York. And then, Frank Langella's also in it. And I thought I recognized his name. I told Camille, I think I recognized that name, Sanford Marks. So we both Googled it. And the first and really only thing that came up was Robert Durst.
Yep.
It's based on Robert Durst. And oh my God. Okay. So I didn't know how accurate it was or anything. I didn't keep up on the Robert Durst thing. And he died now in 2022. I don't remember how. I'm not going to look it up. I'll tell you why in just a sec. So we watched it and we enjoyed it. And then we're like, okay. Or because I said earlier on, there's an HBO one season series called The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst.
Yeah.
Came out in 2015. So we watched the first three episodes, and then I have subsequently finished it. There are six episodes. Same filmmaker as All Good Things, Andrew Jarecki again.
Yep.
He interviews Durst, he interviews all these other people. And yeah, you know, he created the whole thing. He was obsessed with Robert Durst or with this potential crime. Yeah. And so having finished the series now, quote series, everything in his movie, All Good Things, was accurate. There was one thing, or that's also in the documentary. So, you know, same dude, but still, documentary's a documentary. I know it can have a different perspective, but anyway, there's just one thing that Jarecki speculates on in the film, All Good Things. And The Jinx, yes, on HBO, I already said, he is speculative. So I Googled some of this and found out that The Jinx is about to have season two on April 21st on HBO, Sunday night. And so I am down for that. I'm going to be watching it. So let me just say real quick, this is not in the documentary. The film and the documentary directly led to Durst's arrest and a certain conviction. Amazing. And oh my God, I highly recommend the documentary, but I think it's cool to watch the movie first, then the documentary. The end of the documentary, fucking shocking. Shocking. That is worth the price of admission. Truly. But don't jump to there. You know, watch the documentary. Okay, that's it for
me. Can I just say, I love this because so often y'all are watching things or talking about things that I know nothing about. All over The Jinx, all over. I have seen All Good Things.
Nice.
This is something that when The Jinx came out, I watched it. I was so into it. I love true crime stuff anyway. So it was a big thing for me to watch it. Absolutely shocking. One of those endings in a documentary that you're just like, what?
Stuff about. And it was kind of a hometown thing, too.
Part of it's in Galveston.
It's in Galveston. And I've absolutely seen All Good Things. I don't remember what order I saw them in, but I have seen both. I'm fairly certain I saw Robert Durst on the street once when I was living and working in DC.
Wow.
Which was terrifying. he was eating an ice cream cone. It was very weird. But it was after I had seen The Jinx, and so I was like, I think that's fucking Robert Durst.
he did have a very specific look.
Yeah.
It was recognizable. So if you other two ladies, and Susan, I do recommend even All Good Things to you.
Yeah.
I know you don't do biopics, but again, this is so accurate since Andrew Jarecki wanted to be accurate in it. And, you know, then he's like, okay, that's not enough. I'm going to do the documentary.
Yeah.
And so if y'all were to follow along week by, if y'all catch up and were to follow along week by week with season two, again, coming mm-hmm. out April in a week, or for y'all listening less than a week, we could mention it like a jinx in five, jinx in three, you know, in our future episodes, or just do an overall spoilerific episode later about All Good Things and both seasons of The Jinx. And then Amelia, mm-hmm. you totally need to join us for that.
It's a crazy documentary.
And I didn't even care anything about the Robert Durst story. I never researched it. I didn't keep up when it was actively in the news. But this, again, we were just interested in the movie, mainly because of the three stars in it, mm-hmm. the, you know, three leads in it. And then we're like, okay, now we got to watch the documentary. So anyway.
I'm fairly certain I did the documentary first because I am a documentary person. Mm-hmm. I love to watch a documentary. So I'm fairly certain I did that first, and then I watched All Good Things later.
Yeah. And didn't you think it was really accurate that it went yeah. along with the documentary perfectly?
It really did. I loved that, you know, the same director was so into the story that he just wanted to explore it from
yeah.
every angle possible. Highly recommend.
Cool.
I know I've seen the documentary, but it's been years.
So oh, you yeah. have? Okay.
Yeah, I have to okay. watch it again.
When it first dropped.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then we all need to watch season two as well. And then we'll do an episode
yeah.
after that. I'm going to put it on the content calendar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one of those that goes down, at least I would say, like in, you know, documentary history for mm-hmm. the ending. And I think that yeah. there are people who probably are aware of the ending without yeah. knowing anything else about mm-hmm. the story.
Yeah. So y'all don't Google the ending, you know, listening.
And
don't Google much about it at all, because even articles about season two coming out mention the quotes from the end
mm-hmm.
and don't spoil yourself that way. And to me, that is a spoiler. To me, a documentary, you can spoil a documentary if you don't know, if it's a crime thing like this, then it's sad to spoil it.
Yeah.
If it's just, oh, if it's the Steve Martin stuff,
mm-hmm.
like last time, I don't think that's spoiling
no.
because we were sharing jokes that he said, and we didn't even really spoil much
right.
in our Geek Girl Soup episode about that. But something like a true crime documentary.
Yeah.
You could totally spoil it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then there's some that you can't but I'm waiting for the book that comes out, the book by Cancer called mm-hmm. If I Did It.
Oh, right.
And yeah, I'm referring to the death of OJ this week.
Yeah.
Crimes
Those
that can't
some
be
good
spoiled.
Memes.
It's like, come
right,
on.
Crimes that can't be spoiled.
Murder mysteries that can't be spoiled. Because
I had forgotten like so much about all of that, even though I watched the American Crime Stories season mm-hmm. on that, which was fabulous. But so I've just been laughing again the past few days about the low speed car chase, the white Bronco.
The extended Bronco now.
Yes.
I will say one little addendum to, you know, documentaries and spoilers and true crime documentaries. If you're somebody who's into that sort of thing, there's a documentary called Dear Zachary.
Oh my God.
So, prepare yourself for it. It's a tough watch, but it's also another documentary that has a twist at the end that you don't see coming and Ooh. Is super interesting, incredibly heartbreaking, also well made.
Yeah, cool. Very, very
and worth one watch.
Yeah.
yeah. You can tell by my reaction. I've seen it.
One watch.
Yeah. I will check that out.
Have some good place episodes ready. Yeah. to watch after. So, yes. How do we transition to the good place after? Well, we're talking about death. So, there you go.
There you go. It transitions perfectly.
Not perfectly. But
it takes us from a bad place to a good place.
Okay.
I said A.
A. Thank you. So The Good Place was a sitcom that had some serious moments too. It came out, but it's a sitcom that Kelly likes. Came out in 2016 when Eleanor Shellstrop finds herself in the afterlife. She's both relieved and surprised that she's made it to the good place. But it doesn't take long for Eleanor to realize she's there by mistake. She hides in plain sight from the good place's architect, Michael, and his all-knowing assistant, Janet. Her seemingly perfect neighbors, Tahani and Jason, and open-hearted soulmate, Chidi, who's also very jacked, as we mentioned before. Surprisingly, and they all help her realize it's never too late to change. Oh, this is the sitcom that helps you find the meaning of life, right? And can talk openly about philosophy, or, you know, others just kind of weave it in there, and, you know, it's more comedy than thinking, but this has a good amount of both, you know. So I mean, you learned a lot about philosophy and everything, and without like leaning too much on one philosophy or one religion or anything like that. Apparently, according to the Good Place architects, was it every major religion in the world was about 5% correct about what happens after you die. So yeah, I like that. So
then there's good old Doug Forsett.
Yeah. What, how did 90? He do it?
Right.
He was like high. 90 something. Yeah.
The mushrooms, baby.
Okay. Mushrooms. Okay. I guess we'll find out more when we get to that season, right? So how was it? How was the rewatch for everybody? For me, it was good. I enjoyed watching it again. It was kind of like comfort food for me, a comfort watch.
Yeah, same for me. It was a light alternative to some of the things I've been watching lately. So like it was light work. In some places it was kind of background when I was like doing stuff. It felt good to revisit.
Definitely.
I will say it was just as enjoyable this time around as it was the first time I watched it. It's a Mike Schur show. So if anybody's familiar, I don't know how you're not familiar with Mike Schur, but it's one of his shows. I'm always kind of up for watching something he's done, and stellar cast, you know. I don't think there's a single weak link in the bunch. And, you know, come for the Ted Danson and Kristen Bell of it all, which is what I did. I've loved Ted Danson forever. Kristen Bell, I'm a huge, huge fan of Kristen Bell. We'll watch her do pretty much anything, including Frozen 1 and 2, which I've done numerous times, and I have no children. you know, stay for the William Jackson Harper and his jacked body that has been mentioned several times already, and Jamila Jamil and Manny Jacinto and everybody, Darcy Carden, who needs all of the praise in this.
Kelly?
I am the odd geek out here.
Oh, no.
I was not digging the second time around, you know, this rewatch. In fact, and I think it was just because of how awful Eleanor was. And so I got 2.5 episodes in and just couldn't do it anymore, especially because I have a ton of schoolwork right now, you know, especially after having gone to Austin for a few days and then having my daughter here. So it's like, I don't have time for this, and I'm not digging it this time. Like, it was all falling flat on me, but I did jump ahead and I watched the first season finale this morning. And it, you know, each episode is like a cliffhanger to some degree. And I do love that they don't have a long intro theme and the credits are running at the beginning and the end, just the end. It's just, yeah, brief credits at the beginning, the full credits at the end, just down in the side while they're still talking. And then seamlessly moves into the next episode. And when you're watching it on Netflix, obviously there are no commercials. So it's even better that way. So I did let it slip into season two, episode one. And so started that and was enjoying that one more. So I'm not giving up. I just, and I know I missed stuff in not rewatching all of season one, but I just,
it's okay.
It's weird, but I do like it. So when you said earlier, a rom, not rom-com, sitcom that Kelly actually likes, it is true. Yes.
She's not great. Eleanor is not.
She's terrible.
She's a trash bag.
Absolutely terrible.
And she admits that she is a horrible person.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, but you know, she didn't murder anyone or anything like that. So
yeah, but like that, and that's what season one is. Season one introduces her as this horrible person, self-admittedly, and we get to see that journey as she becomes better.
Yeah.
Is willing to sacrifice herself.
Right. Changes her motivations. And it's like, it's not all about her and her amusement.
And I do love how she figures it out in the last episode of season one.
Yes.
That was great.
And Ted Danson's laugh then is amazing. I love
it. And if you have captions on, it reads, wicked laugh or laughing wickedly. I forget which. So.
I do think that it helps, and it's going to become very obvious that I am like Kristen Bell fangirl, because I 100% am. I have been since Veronica Mars.
Yes.
In the original run, because I did watch it in the original run.
Yes.
I think it takes a very specific person to pull that character off. I don't know, just off the top of my head, I can't name any other actress that could have done that and play such a horrendous person who is also actively trying to become good.
And whom we're supposed to like.
Right.
And she is likable. I think you're exactly right there. She looks, the actress, you know, looks like innocent and happy, and you can't gauge someone's quote goodness or, you know, ethicalness. Just by looking at them. But she, I think you're right that she does carry it off perfectly, because she doesn't look like a drunken skank.
But she certainly could be.
She can play one. Yes. And I'm sorry to use the word skank. It's just, you know, for her character and that, whatever.
Horribly offended by the word skank.
No, but Amelia, when you were describing it, Christina Applegate, for some reason, immediately popped in my head, because Kelly Bundy. So, but they are two of the people who could play this role.
Sure.
Just perfectly.
Now that you like, say
it. But like on the flip side of her being such a terrible person, we got to also see how her perfect friends aren't perfect at all. We got to see how they also landed themselves in the bad place. And it's not from them being terrible people, it's from them being flawed humans. I mean, except Jason. Jason really did all the shit on that list. But he's still good. He's a good guy. He's just a little low IQ.
So why the hate for the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I don't know about that.
Michael from the list that belongs in the bad place.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. Oh, that's it. Then I'm definitely going there. I don't know all their songs or whatever, but I do like them.
Me too. Michael does not.
If they had said like Train, then sure, I could have gotten it.
Or Nickelback or something. Yeah.
Oh my
gosh.
I mean, there are a couple songs.
But I think that would have been too obvious.
Okay.
For us, that's true. You know, for it to be on the list. So I'm assuming that the show, you know, the writers, whatever, chose a group whom more people like and are not the butt of some joke. Like
yeah, because you're listening to him run through the list of people who belong in the bad place, and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I didn't do the fish thing. Red Hot. Oh, yeah, never mind. I'm in the bad place too. Yeah.
And hey, I drink almond milk.
Yeah,
right. I guess I'm going to the bad place.
Cashew milk.
Yeah.
Any kind of nut milk. Love the nuts.
Yeah, because I'm not a baby cow. So
yep. I do oat milk.
I also do
that too.
Yeah,
all that's yummy.
But the oat milk doesn't. So I don't remember why almond milk was on there. Oat milk, my understanding is it does not take up all that water that like growing oats. And, I thought growing oats was pretty easy.
And growing almonds takes up a lot of water. So that's why they're on that list.
I just read an article that we need to stop buying so many avocados too.
Oh no.
Oh, darn.
No more table set guac.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know what? I'm just going to bad place. Just
yeah.
You know, it's like, am I gonna let all these other people enjoy the last of the avocados?
Yeah,
and I won't ever have one again. And that's flawed thinking, obviously. But you know.
Because I sent y'all that article about like it being 80% of companies.
87.
Like, 87.
No, 57 companies responsible for 80%.
Right, of carbon
emissions.
Emissions. Okay. Like, so what can we do? Have that avocado, Kelly. Right.
That avocado is not doing the damage that those 57 companies are. I did read the list, and most of them are oil and gas.
Of course they are.
But they could have been, they should have been investing in renewable energy for the past decades.
Agreed.
So they could replace themselves and have instead of having other companies replace them.
Mm-hmm. And they just refuse to do so, and they're going to the bad place.
That's made me think. I was watching CBS Sunday morning this morning with my dad, and they had a segment on recycling and how recycling isn't doing what you think it's doing. And my dad has been really great about trying to like recycle and separate stuff out, and he's like, it doesn't matter, does it? And I was like, not really.
Especially the plastic is my understanding. Yeah. Is that, did they go over that in the thing this morning?
They did.
Is recycling glass and like cans still and paper still helpful?
Basically, glass and paper are still helpful.
Okay.
It's plastic mainly that's not great. It was followed up by a segment on New Balance shoes, and my dad was like, "Oh, there's like, you know, New Balance shoes aren't, you know, pretty good." And I was like, "Well, they supported Trump during his first."
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh my God.
So I never buy New Balance, but if you want to buy New Balance.
Me either.
I was just like, I woke up with a headache. I was a buzzkill this morning. Nobody should have.
Oh, no.
I'd forgotten that about New Balance. Mm-hmm. But now that you've reminded me, I had a pair at that time that was almost totally worn out. Mm-hmm. And so I did not replace them with more New Balance.
Yeah.
Looks okay.
Don't know. We can't look up everything we buy. We can look up major purchases or regular purchases, but it's a lot to look up everything. And you can't always find the politics of the owners of the companies or the board of directors of the kind, you know, where they donate. Mm-hmm.
I think we can only do what we can do, which sounds stupid, but I think if you're making a little bit of an effort based on what you feel is benefiting humanity, then good on you for that. I am one of those people who will actively avoid certain chicken restaurants.
Yeah.
because I don't like their politics.
Yeah.
And I fully will tell people that. Yeah. So in the grand scheme of things, is it doing much? Probably not, because my dollars aren't much, but you do what you can. Bottom line, I'm still going to end up in the bad place because I've done plenty of other things to get myself.
Everyone has. Every one of us.
Every one of us.
Even the good people.
Yeah.
So-called good people.
Yeah. And there's those 7 years of PR work coming back to help, because I can bring it back to where we need to be.
There you go.
No, I love the show. I think it's a... I can see where you're coming from, Kelly. I can see how watching it again and looking at Eleanor's behavior can be like, there's plenty of shows that I loved on the first run. And then trying to watch them again, I was like, I can't do this. Big, well-known shows that I have tried to watch again. And I'm like, I can't do this. So I get it. I love that you're like, you know, I'm willing to keep going with this and see where it goes.
And
That's
maybe I just wasn't in a sitcom mood the other night.
maybe.
I did enjoy the season one finale more. And, the part of season two, episode one that I've gotten into. So it could have just been a mood thing. And yet, like, I didn't love Breaking Bad when I did a full rewatch there a few years ago. Oh, I mean, it was still great, but I'm like, wait, why did the audience like Walt? I was even surprised at myself.
Yeah, you're just watching it come from a totally different perspective when you're doing a rewatch, because you know how it turns out. And so,
Welcome to my sleeping
but
light.
but with
Keep here.
this, it's like, she turns out to be pretty good, being just a regular person. She's got different sides to her. And while she was like living on the earth as a human, her bad side was out. Now she's getting to know the other parts of her personality and bringing those out more than the others. So I mean, it's a big redemption story, right?
And there are external circumstances too. And I remember, like, you binged the hell out of first two seasons, right? So you watched it very quickly. You got to see her transform very quickly. Whereas
You
this
mean
time you didn't really
the
have that
first,
time.
exactly. That's right. That's a good point. And as far as like her being, quote, a terrible person, maybe her life circumstances were such that it was difficult for her to see the good in other people. And now in the good, bad place, having the time to literally be taught about all of that and like, reasons for, quote, being good, and then having the time and space to practice, because she's not scrambling to keep working. She's not, all of that. So like the stressors of daily life are gone. It's different stressors in the good, bad
I
place.
mean, her parents were horrific.
And obviously there are plenty of people who live in similar or grow up or live in similar or worse situations and end up being good people. But we all experience trauma to a different degree, and not everyone is as resilient as everyone else. So,
Yeah, because we saw what she did when she went to that new school. Like, she didn't want to be connected to anybody. She's like, don't talk to me.
I loved that scene. I forgot about that. But there was a tiny part of me that was like, I wish I could have done that in high school. Just been like, you know what? Fork all of you. I don't want to talk to any of you. In 20 years, I'm not going to be talking to any of you. So leave me alone.
But then you go to school with people like Kelly, and here they are in your life
Oh,
forever.
Trish, yes. Ah, Jesus.
I'm trying to compliment you.
I love the journey on Kelly's face when she's like, wait a minute. Oh, wait, we did go to school together.
No, I for yes, I for I took me a minute to realize Susan was referring to herself going to school with me as opposed to like my classmates.
Oh, no.
See, you didn't know me as well as my classmates knew me.
No, I
That's
didn't.
why we're still friends.
Oh.
Teasing, not teasing. I don't
Uh-oh. I'm worried now when I move. I'll get to know you. Oh no.
Oh my goodness, no. I'm not the same person I was in high school.
Okay.
Kelly, were you a mean girl?
No, oh my God, not at all.
Okay. Okay.
No. I was well behaved in public
Okay.
and not always like behind the scenes. I got away with some stuff that other
You
people
were an
didn't get away
Eleanor.
with. No. It was
No.
also I was the president of the honor council and a member of it for 2 other years. I was the head of a few clubs and or at least one club, yeah, and belonged to a bunch of clubs. And no, I intended to be a teacher's pet, depending on the teacher. And yeah, no, they loved me at school. And my parents trusted me. Like senior year, I was also 18. They did give me a curfew. They went from a 10 p.m. curfew, 9, 10, 11th grades, to no curfew senior year.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
That's trust.
But
she Rose Nyland in the streets and Blanche Devereaux in the sheets.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like yeah. Looking back, I was not as nice as I could have been. I was very worried or concerned about competition and being like the one, and and none of that is enough. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things they said was important as when we were
the
was
thing,
the
like
competition
excellence.
and
Our school was all about, like, excellence was the word they used all the time. And they were definitely all about competition.
Yeah.
And my dad was too.
Like all, whatever, 100 students couldn't be at the top of the class. So,
right.
You know,
right.
What do you say to all of them, the other 99?
Yeah.
So.
But you were definitely worth more if you were up there in the top 10. At least that's how the school acted. You
Yeah,
know,
absolutely.
And my dad.
Yeah.
So anyway, good place.
Yes, the good boys.
Let's go back instead of reliving other traumas from
That's
growing
right.
up.
Sorry.
Real ones. Yeah, no.
Yes.
I'm teasing.
That's right. Well, that's one of the things the show does too, right? Because it shows you all of that and like, oh, well, this something similar happened to me in my life, so yes, how do I process that, right?
And hopefully gives us more empathy as well for other people, because like seeing Eleanor change, I would not have liked her at all in real life ever,
right?
And but you know, to see her change, like, okay, I could hang with her.
Like she was so selfish, like when she was alive. Like one of my favorite moments was when she was at work and they brought her the birthday cake. And she's like, nope, I brought my own. Like y'all weren't gonna get the flavor I like, and I'm not putting in for the next person's birthday.
Oh my
I'm good.
goodness.
Thanks.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And like the designated driver thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh,
and like the one
you got your
time
name again.
Yes. And then the one time she actually like is the designated driver, then she abandons them and goes home with hunky bartender.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know how she had so many friends.
I don't know that they were friends. I think it was mostly coworkers and
drinking buddies.
Yeah.
But why did they continue to let her come
Hey.
around them?
Yeah.
Like, you guys didn't catch on before this.
Right.
Her one roommate did say she needed to get a new roommate. I'm trying to remember what the scene was. Like, she did this so many times. There was one roommate whose dress she ruined, and a dry cleaner got sued. And her other roommate, I can't remember what she did. I just remember the roommate telling a friend, oh, the movie theater. Because she was, she was going to buy the movie tickets on her credit card. She said, no, I'm not giving you all my points. And she got a good seat. I guess they had a different tier system for where they could sit. I don't know. Depending on your points.
Yeah.
Oh, she was terrible. But I loved her. And Chidi did too.
I do think, I now that I think about it, I think the cake thing was probably valid though. Because how many times have you worked somewhere and they bring you a cake and you're like, I have to eat this even though I don't want it. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to buy my own cake.
Or just anytime they bring food in, you know.
Yeah.
Well, because that's what I've noticed, you know, at work. It's like trash pizza or, you know, wings or barbecue or, you know, it's like, I don't eat any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Or allergens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So junk food or allergens, and sometimes often both.
Well, the one lady who used to do it at one of my jobs, she would specifically ask what that person wants. Like she would make sure she had a list of what everybody liked. And that's what would come in whenever we had our birthday things monthly.
Okay, good.
But other places that have done that, trash.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that pizza place. Why do you guys keep ordering from that pizza place? I don't want any of that. That's gross. Oh, it's the closest one and it's cheap.
Ugh.
Of course.
And it tastes it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, grease.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we brought in Papa John. tons. And I'm like, I can't eat that because the CEO is terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like hate pizza.
Yeah.
So hate pizza, hate chicken. And so
going hungry today.
Yeah.
I brought my own lunch.
Exactly. Always bring your lunch. That's the lesson we've learned.
So Mike Schur wrote a book. Mike Schur, the creator of The Good Place, wrote a book that came out fairly recently, I think. I was trying to look and see when it came out, and I haven't been able to find it yet. But it's called How to Be Perfect, The Correct Answer to Every Moral Question.
Wow.
2022?
Yeah, sounds right.
Wow.
Based on the research that he did for The Good Place, the philosophy research.
Yeah. I haven't picked it up yet, mostly because I'm going through a phase of not reading a whole lot, but I would like to. I'm interested in reading that. Fun fact, I feel like Janet now. Mike Schur is married to J.J. Philbin, whose father was Regis Philbin.
Oh, my gosh.
That's cool.
I did not know that.
I published a book in 2010 called Make Someone's Moment. And it was all about doing the tiny things that you can do on a daily basis throughout the day that will lift someone else's mood. That changing the world is way too big to focus on. Even making someone's day is too big to focus on because you don't know what they're going to go do after they see you. Something awful may happen. So just that one moment. So this idea of like being present and doing something little, it could be as simple as holding the door open, smiling at someone, you know, stranger, little things like that. And then on up, and you don't know the kind of positive ripple effects that'll happen. Oh, letting someone cut in front of you with their car, you know, instead of like honking or whatever, which has sent me off on a bad day if someone honks at me.
Yeah.
You know? And so why not just be like, okay, come on. It's no big deal.
Fun fact, holding the door open only nets you 3 points.
Those points add up. You do that throughout the day. Those points are going to add up.
That counter didn't move.
No, because of her motivation was to get the points.
Right.
So
right.
It didn't work.
Corrupt.
Right. No, little points definitely add up. Sorry for this little tangent. It just made me think of it. And it's funny. Gilda Radner, I think it was an HBO special. And one of the, so she would go off and like change outfits, get ready for her next skit. And at one point, Father Guido Sarducci, y'all remember him? Came out and he brought out in a wheelchair a cardinal, like, you know, religious cardinal. And that was in an earlier one. And then later he comes out on his own. He doesn't have the cardinal with him. And he's talking about points, a point system to get into heaven or hell, but it's like money. And so, you know, this will net you 5 cents. This will net you $100 and that will cut off five or cut off 100, you know, take away from. And so he's listing all these things, you know, shoplifting, I'm making this up, you know, 20 cents, murder, $100. And then he goes, lists a bunch of things. Then he goes, masturbation, 5 cents, something like that. Like they would take away. And so at the end, oh, but he says, but that adds up, 5 cents, 5 cents, 5 cents, you know. And then at the end, he's like, I better go find the cardinal. He's probably in the bathroom working up a tab. Masturbating. I've always loved that, the working up a tab. But there you go. It's like a point system too. Not that much of a tangent then.
Right.
It's related.
Absolutely also relevant.
Reminded me of something I love about this, which is it's obviously a giant conversation, the good place versus the bad place, and you know, what you're doing in your daily life that gets you points to go here or deducts points, so you're going to the bad place. And then towards the end of the first season, they introduce the idea of this medium place.
Yeah.
Which is neither the good place nor the bad place. And you get to meet this great Mindy St. Clair character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who I love, because one of the things she says there, you know, they go, they meet her and spend some time there and kind of understand why she ended up where she did. And at the point where they're leaving, she's like, great, I'm going to masturbate. And she's like, yeah. I just love the introduction of that, like, incredibly flawed character who is also very human and just.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's funny because Eleanor had been asking for a medium place this entire time. Like, she knows she's not an all good or all bad person, and that's all of us.
Yeah,
we all need that medium place. Yeah.
Personally, what are y'all's perspectives on whether there is a good and bad place? If there's a good place, does that mean for sure that there's a bad place? What do y'all personally think? And is there another movie or show that addresses such a topic that y'all like say this is closest to my opinion or belief, you know, if you have a belief system around it?
I don't know. I don't really have a belief around it, but some of the things that might happen after you die, I liked defending your life.
Oh my God.
You know,
I was
how you'd
say
have
that.
To,
yes.
Yeah. So because that
tell more about that for people who don't who are listening and don't know.
Do you stand in front of a panel of judges or whatever and they ask you about specific events, and
because they're showing clips from your life of, they pick out a certain number, and the movie was Albert Brooks, Meryl Streep, Rip Torn, several other great people. Yeah. And in the meantime you're enjoying this, it's not limbo,
it's
but
kind
I
of
guess
a good place, kind of
good, medium to good, and because it depends on your station there. Because remember, Meryl Streep was in a really nice hotel and did spa treatments and things, and Albert Brooks is like in this step above a motel.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but
but you don't go to I don't remember. I don't think you go to a bad place. I think you just keep being reincarnated.
Yeah.
If you don't move on.
And so I guess the object is you've learned enough from the life that you just lived that you get to go to the next plane or whatever.
That's closer to my thinking as well. And not religious here, but raised by my grandmother. I wasn't raised by my grandmother, but I mean, she took me to her Baptist church, which actually I totally didn't dig and left. So it's really like my reading of the Bible and bringing in things that I've heard from various religions and whatnot, but particularly like Christianity. I feel like if Jesus died for our sins and that reopened the kingdom of heaven, how would anyone go to hell anymore? He forgives, and he died so that God would forgive everyone. So I think hell is just dealing with, if there's one at all, I think it's just dealing with the people it had before Jesus died.
Okay. It's some bad motherfuckers.
I know. I think they keep getting reincarnated. I know, which is also terrible if they're not learning. But see, I want to allow for the possibility of a serial killer, Ellen Shellstrop, that maybe, you know, a few more times they'll figure things out. And hopefully not actively kill anyone during those learning lifetimes.
See, I grew up Baptist too, so the idea of heaven and hell, like, I can't really get away from it too much. But for me, I kind of wish it was something more like Beetlejuice. Like, that's what I want the afterlife to look like.
There you go.
That's what I want.
Lines
it to be
at
like.
The DMV.
Yes. Yes.
I thought for sure I was going to hell because of the Baptists, you know? And like, I was a kid and they were like, you know, all lying is a sin and you will go to hell. Like, wait, but every kid tells fibs, lies, whatever. And I'm like, I'm not down with this. No,
that's
I don't
that
believe.
Book that so many people are so married to. I'm like, y'all take things so fucking literally. It's I grew up loving mythology. Like, I love all kinds of mythology. And for me, like, that book is another book of mythology. And my mother curses me out every time I say something like that because it's blasphemy to her. But like, that's where I am. I'm sorry. Like, yes, I get the main tenets. I get what it wants to teach because it's the same tenets that most religions teach. Yeah. It's just to be a good person. Like, that shit's not literal. I'm sorry. Like, right. That dude didn't really get swallowed by a whale. I'm sorry.
Right. I think the one literal thing is love thy neighbor as thyself.
Exactly. And that's the other thing. Like, there are so many contradictory things in that book, and people will pick and choose what they think works best for why they are right and you're wrong. Mm-hmm. But what you just said is what it should just be. And that's it.
Yeah. The New Testament, certainly.
Yeah.
You know, the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, that God is a vengeful God.
Mm-hmm. I love, so I grew up Catholic, which has been established on this show recently.
Yes.
And was also very much taught heaven and hell, and you are going to hell pretty much no matter what. I do love that there was a period in the 80s where I feel like everybody was kind of interested in making these films about what happened in the afterlife, because you just brought up, Susan, you brought up Defending Your Life. I think there was a period of time when I was really into this movie called Made in Heaven.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love that so much.
Yeah.
With Timothy Hutton and
Kelly McGillis.
I so wanted to believe that, you know, that was what heaven was like. And I think I was probably going through a Timothy Hutton phase and just wanted to believe that, you know, there was a heaven with Timothy Hutton up there that I was maybe going to get to, which I was never going to get to.
And that we had a soulmate.
And that we have a soulmate.
Yeah.
Which is definitely something that I thought about early on and was, you know, tied to this idea of like one soulmate. And I think as I've gotten older and gotten away from the Catholic Church and religion in general, I know for me, my thinking has kind of shifted on the idea of like one soulmate. I love the idea that maybe the afterlife is like Beetlejuice. I could get down with that. Or I will see you there. Looks like an interesting place to be. Looks like my kind of place to be. I think when I got away from the Catholic faith and got away from Christianity so much, I started probably 10 years ago, started to read more into Buddhism. And that was something that really resonated with me. And I like, even Made in Heaven kind of touched on this a little bit, the idea of reincarnation and coming back. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of reincarnated as, given you're learning the lessons in this particular life that you need to learn, then, you know, you're, the next time around, you get elevated a little bit. And, you know, one day maybe I will reach like supreme being and come back as a cat, because who doesn't want that?
Because cats are assholes.
As long as they're a family indoor cat.
Yeah, sure. And you get to sleep all day and eat and still be an asshole. Then
get fed,
and
be warm.
They still love you because you're cute.
Because cats.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Love that.
Isn't it fun when a sitcom can like do all this for you?
Mm-hmm. It is. And they're not a lot that
no.
do mm-mm. this.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's one that makes you think. It's a thinker. It's not just a laugher. It's not like just some, you know, it's not on CBS. Yeah. That's right. I said it.
And like when this came out, comedies felt like it had been at a downturn for a while. Like NBC's, because remember they used to have that whole comedy block and they had nothing before this came for a while. I'm trying to think. CBS has their comedies, but it's like the laugh track kind of comedy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And it, like, I can't see us having a conversation and talking religion or it'd be really serious and thoughtful, like talking about a CBS comedy, you know?
No.
Certainly not anything with the laugh track or even live studio audience reading the sign, laugh.
Yeah.
And responding. And
like, nothing like recent. Some of the stuff back in the 70s and 80s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They had their serious moments.
Yeah. Not related to this, but we're eventually going to have to talk about this good time situation. You've seen it, right, Amelia? They've done an animated version of Good Times that's coming out on Netflix, and it looks horrific. It looks like one big stereotype that looks like completely against everything that the original actors were going in for. So,
really,
like, I looked at that trailer and I cringed so many times.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I can't get behind it. I also don't imagine them taking the serious topics that Good Times did and putting it out now and it being well received.
It's already horribly received just from the trailer. There is a drug dealing baby, Kelly.
What?
How? Yeah.
That's terrible. That is really terrible.
Yeah. I'll send you the trailer when this is over just so you can cringe like I did. I want to share the wealth that me and Amelia have gone through.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I very distinctly remember being a kid and watching Good Times. I don't remember, I think of the original run, when that would have been right now. Late 70s, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Mid
74 through 79. So yeah, me neither.
Okay. So, but it is something that I watched growing up. Because my parents weren't super strict with what we watched, but I still have a very distinct memory of like the reveal of what Janet Jackson's mom was, Janet Jackson's nanny, what her mom had done to her. And I can't imagine people nowadays knowing how, I hate using this word, but how triggered people are by things.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are the reality of the situation.
And such an episode would have to have a trigger warning these days, which honestly I frequently find to be a shame because then basically you know what's coming.
Yeah.
And for those of us who don't want to know, that's too bad. So then, you know, if there's a trigger warning at the beginning of something, I'm like, and especially they tell what it's a trigger warning for. Right. Like, oh, great.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right.
And didn't want to know.
Yeah, they did that on Grey's Anatomy this week. There was a trigger warning of a specific subject. And so then you're waiting for the whole show, you know, to see, okay, who's it going to be? And
Susan, are you still watching Grey's Anatomy?
I know, I'm sorry.
It got good again, though. They introduced new interns and it felt like new again for me.
Yeah, with those
good again at season 20.
Yeah,
because those two, and one is what Derek's nephew or whatever. They feel like the new Meredith and Derek. Yeah,
they do. Because Meredith is gone mostly; she's off doing her own thing. I think she's doing a new show.
And she was triggered this week too. So
I was triggered when she came to pick me, girl. So.
That's right. The pygmy girls.
Yes.
Kelly, I'm sorry you missed our Midnight Mass talk.
It was okay.
It was.
It sounds like it was fun.
It was. Yeah.
However, if you want to discuss Hot Priests,
Fleabag, did that come up?
Always comes up.
Of course.
That's the epitome of a hot brain.
Yes. So he is playing Tom Ripley in Netflix's new series, Ripley, and he's fantastic. Yeah. I loved the whole show. Did it with my daughter in like 2 days, binged it with her in like 2 days. Mm-hmm. The cinematography is just perfect. Excellent. I mean, normally when I'm watching a movie or TV show, I'm getting into the story and don't notice the cinematography unless it's bad or particularly stellar. Mm-hmm. And this, every episode, I'm oohing and aahing, not constantly, but you know, they're just moments where it's like, this is the perfect shot. And then another perfect shot happens and so on. So I definitely recommend it.
Well, are we in the recommendations?
I don't know. Yeah, are we? Well, is there any other lessons or anything that comments from season one?
Don't be hitting everything. Like, just don't be a terrible, completely terrible person. Be middle-ish like Eleanor.
Okay.
And be observant, because you'll figure out some interesting things.
Middle-ish. Be middling. If you can't be good, be middling.
Yeah.
That's not the motto of Giggle Soup.
Hedge your bet. I mean, look hedge at them. Look at Tahani. Like, she was striving, but always, I guess, to beat her sister.
Well, hey, she raised $60 million.
So. Interesting characters, every one of them.
Yeah.
I love it. I think they're all incredibly interesting. I think that's something that Mike Schur is great at, is creating really interesting characters.
Yeah.
Even in mundane situations like, you know, Parks and Rec or, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You got just these workplace situations, but you've got really interesting characters, which I think is something he's great at.
We talked a little bit about Janet. I do love what she was talking to Michael about in one of the last episodes, where she was telling him how she was evolving, and now she's evolved in such a way that she can love now. And like, when she was talking to him, she didn't say it, but I was like, oh, Janet's becoming human. Like, she's the AI that's becoming more human. Exactly. And she's in love with Jason. I love it.
I love Janet so much.
Yes.
I just felt like Madeline Kahn in that moment. Like, so much.
Yeah.
No, I love Janet so much, and I'm really kind of holding on to that conversation until later in the series, because she's got greater things ahead of her.
When we see all of the Janets.
Yeah. And I think that in and of itself is worthy of a its own discussion, because Janet is such an amazing character, and Darcy Carden does such a phenomenal job with her.
Yeah.
I will reserve. I'll put a little pin in that until we get to, there's one episode in particular that I'm thinking of. So when we get to that.
Definitely.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But like Janet bits, the cactus. That may be my favorite of season one.
I love
it. Is it a cactus? Is it a cactus? No.
I don't know. Too much fun. And yes, and I was once Janet for Halloween. And I think, Amelia, you were also at the same.
I was.
We were,
I
think, different Janets.
I think I was bad Janet.
Pictures?
Yeah.
And you were Janet and something?
I don't know. I had on a little purple coat. So I don't, and a wig, and yeah.
I feel like I was wearing all black and had my
you must. Okay.
Motorcycle jacket on. So
okay,
that's great.
Yeah. So we were both
surprised to absolutely no one.
So yeah, that was a fun party.
Well, I don't know if we have pictures of that, but yeah.
Yeah, there are pictures. Pictures exist.
Okay. Yeah. Janet, I love Janet. One of the best characters ever. And I just remember, like, really quick, funny little thing. When they get to the middle place, they pull up, the train pulls up, and they get off, and they're in the middle place. I was watching the show with Garrett in the room, and who watched it with me the first time, so we've both seen it before, and watching it again, and they pull up and they're like, we're in the middle place, and Garrett said, it looks like Oklahoma.
Yeah,
which just made me laugh. I've never been to Oklahoma, but
it's just flat, you know. So. Yeah,
and basically in the middle of the country, so there you go.
Yeah,
it makes literally sense. Is a middle place.
Yeah.
May not be the middle place, but it is a middle place.
Apologies to those of you who are in Oklahoma.
No. Y'all can make fun of Texas all you want, because we know about our government here, and it's not cool.
Speaking of trash bags.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
And just pure trash.
Yeah.
We know.
Unless you're Beyonce.
Yes.
then that's the good part.
Oh no, there are wonderful things that come out of Texas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's just the people running it right now.
Oh yeah, no, they're yeah. assholes.
Yeah. Assholes.
Assholes.
Don't worry, I have another shirt coming for one of our next episodes.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Excellent. Well, for next week, we are doing another kind of hidden gem. It is called River, a movie called River. It's a little Japanese movie, and the less you know about it, the better. It was made by the same filmmaker who made The Infinite 2 Minutes that we watched last year or the year before. So that we watched in the last couple of years. So it's his next movie, and it's very similar, and maybe he got the names mixed up, and it's available to rent or to buy. River, 2023 Japanese film. Watch it. We'll be talking about it next week. And then we'll be back in June with season 2 of The Good Place.
And in between there, after River, ooh, it is May of Thrones.
Yes, a very special time of year.
Yes, 4 weeks of Thrones, mm-hmm. two seasons per week.
Okay.
That's going to be an interesting rewatch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have done it since it was out. And we basically saw every episode at least twice anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's been a few years.
It has been. Yes. I don't know if I can. I don't know.
Well, you don't have to rewatch all of them.
Thing.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Just get started and watch whatever you want within each 2 seasons per week. And
okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
Just the highlights. Plus, you know, got this, you know, my new neighbor, you know.
That being me.
Yeah. So
we didn't share that yet.
We didn't. Yeah.
Literally. Kelly. Next door my in next the door same neighbor. Building.
Yes.
Our bedroom and closet walls are back to back. We share a wall.
And yeah. We're not putting in a secret door.
Or we're just not telling you about it.
Right. There you go.
If it's a secret.
Yeah. The front doors are close enough. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But we might have a code, you know, to knock right. on the wall.
Right. Oh my gosh. Do, 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 do.
You know, Morse code.
Right.
So we'll figure it out.
Well, learning Morse code has been helpful in movies and TV shows that are oh, apocalyptic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Right.
To learn
right.
that. Yeah. Right. That could be the one skill that I have to bring in the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The one like valuable, potentially valuable skill.
And, you know, I'm the apocalypse doctor. So. Yeah.
I can't learn Morse code right now because I've got Lily from Duolingo shaming me already because I have my language. So,
like, hey, you wouldn't want to mess up that whatever day streak now, would you? Be
whatever.
Ashamed.
Yeah, but then for
Spanish, Emilio, maybe I will get to you in a few minutes.
I love Duo though. That little owl is so cute.
I love the owl. The owl's super cute.
Yeah. But yeah, how they get in your head is just kind of not super cute. Like, wait a minute. Stop it. So we'll go fight with Duolingo now. Everyone's going to get off the podcast, go do a lesson, and then Duo will be happy and not try and shame us anymore. Yeah. So.
I have not done it today, and today is the last day of the week, you know,
mm-hmm.
for keeping your position on the leaderboard or
that's
in the
right.
tournament.
So. Can you get to the top three by the end of the night?
No, I don't want to. Not doing that much.
No.
Yeah.
That throws you all the way into higher echelons.
Kelly, you got to be the top.
No, not anymore. Yeah, and like Court just said, then... It keeps pushing you higher and higher into harder and harder groups.
Pressure.
And one time I was in one where number one that week was around 17 or 18,000 XP.
Mm-hmm.
What? No.
That was
somebody
one
has
or
a
two.
Cheat code.
Yeah, the top 15 were like fighting it out. And I'm like, I just want to not go back a level.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Right. Yeah. One time I did let myself drop out of the Diamond League. And then, you know, being a premium or plus member, whatever.
Yeah.
Then they'll ask if you want to spend gems, a lot of gems, to maintain your position in the Diamond League. Oh. And so I did. And then it sort of reset my level, my XP level.
Yeah. Oh. Now I just like do better that next week and get back in.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Start I like Monday night at 11:35 or something. 11:50. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh. Yeah.
PM.
Yes.
PM.
And get in with all the slackers. Oh no, not I never do it Monday morning.
No.
No.
Or Sunday night.
Oh,
I
God,
had to
no.
do it on Sunday night recently because I forgot to do it before the end of Duo's day. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, crap.
Yeah. So those are our Duolingo secrets.
Mm-hmm. Just a few of them.
Yeah.
Joining us for Duo Talk.
Yes. So we'll have more tips next week and a discussion of River. So until then, everyone, geek on.